You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, y'all, it's been 13 years, but I'm back on your airwaves. This is Nakisha Michelle, the queen of the bounce back. I've been graced to rise as a psychotherapist, author, plus size model, and get out of here, a life healer. But my path was definitely carved through teen motherhood, divorce, homelessness, and the shadow of depression. Ugh. But every wound became a breakthrough and every fall a sacred lesson. And now I live what I teach, and that is the climb to bliss. You know what? This isn't just a show. It's bounce back behavior. It's medicine. It's community. It's me, your girl, Nakisha Michelle, joined by your favorite. Yes, that's what I said. Your favorite. Get in the room. Get in the room. Your favorite guru and spiritual baddie, Miss Robin Denise. And yes, and a breakout star. Our K-pop bestie and cultural critic, Miss Izzy Key.
Hey, hey.
Hey. So welcome, welcome, welcome to Bounce Back Behavior, where we're healing culture and spiritual power come together. We together are living proof you can heal out loud the pain with no shame in the game. Now, ladies, let's get to work.
Wow.
How are you ladies feeling? So first, Robin Denise, I need you to give a shout out. Where are you located in the world?
baby, this global trotting honey is in Thailand. I am in Phuket, Thailand right now.
Thailand. What? Okay. Izzy Key, I need you to give a shout out. Where are you located right now?
I'm here in Rosarito, Mexico.
Woo! Rosarito, Mexico. Okay. And of course, I'm also here in Rosarito, Mexico. But together, we promise each week to give you exactly what you need to do the work, feel a part of this community, and bounce back. This is the tools and the transformation, and we got it, okay? So let us segue. You know what? Robin Denise is so creative. She's so damn creative that she scares me, but I want you to spice it up. I'm giving you permission. Okay.
All right, let's do it. So listen, folks, I ask the questions that people usually keep to themselves, you know, the ones that make you stop and think, but you don't want to say nothing about it. So every week, we're going to dive into these awkward, kind of tricky, maybe a little revealing questions that actually reveal the deeper parts about life, how we live, what we believe, and what no one really wants to say out loud, all right? We all gonna answer the question. But it's also your opportunity, listeners, to call in if you want to answer too. All right? So today's question, y'all ready? Drum roll, please.
We spicy already. Oh, my God. Yeah. First day.
Let's go. I'm trying to ease y'all answer these questions. So I feel like today's question is a little mild.
But does she got to cover up her ears is my question. Do she got to cover up her ears?
I don't know. We're going to see. All right. When it comes to getting it in a car, what is your favorite position, and how do you pull it off without pulling a muscle? Let me repeat for those people in the back. When it comes to getting it in your car, your favorite vehicle, somebody else's vehicle, your mama's vehicle, whoever's vehicle.
Oh my God.
What is your favorite position? And how do you pull it off without pulling a muscle? You know, the over 35 plus want to know.
Oh my goodness. Callers, if you are listening and you want to tell us how you get it in, you want to answer this inappropriate question, dial in to 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. Okay. So, first off, Robin Denise, I want to know what prompted you to ask this question, because I ain't ready to answer yet, so I got to procrastinate and all the other Nates, because I ain't ready to answer. So, I got to dig deep. I got to let my Oprah in. So, Robin Denise, when you were thinking of this question, from where did it come from?
Okay, listen, let me tell you where it came from, because as a happy-go-lucky kingster.
A kingster. What's a kingster?
A person who loves and practices kink. In the BDSM world, bondage, dominance, submissive, masochism, all of that. In that world, I am a sex educator. I consider myself a sex worker, because anybody who works in sex as a sex educator to me is a sex worker, right? Like, if you are a sex educator, you working in the field of sex, so then you're a sex worker. So as a sex educator, a sex worker, a kinkster, a dame, and a dame is a beautiful goddess being who receives worship and all sorts of things. In a scene, but that's the whole other topic. Anyways, all of that, this is how this question came up, because it's a part of exhibitioning, like being out in the field, getting it on. People, there are a lot of exhibitionists out here in the world who be trying to hide, but you don't got to. So, hang out.
Okay. So what had happened was, let me wait, callers, if you are listening once again, and you're ready to answer this inappropriate ass question, call in 323-203-0815. Ooh, girl, let the healing begin. Let's do the work. Okay. What they say in the church, girl, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yes.
Child, let me tell you. Okay. So what happened is, I like back seats because I need room for my legs. And it's something about when the feet hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's something about with the feet on the ceiling. Girl, when I tell you, it almost became a preferred place.
Mm-hmm.
A preferred place. Like, if I would say my top three places, it's the back seat. So anybody who's riding in my car, bring a little plastic or a little cloth or something, because the back seat is serious. It go down in the back seat.
And you know, the ceiling gives your feet some leverage, right? So like, you could kind of rest it there, or you can like use the ceiling to like push back and thrust. I like it.
Yes. Like it. Yes. But see, Marvin Gaye was talking about that though. He said sexual healing. So sex is healing. It's so healing. It's so healing. And one of the things that I talk about a lot of times with my clients is exacerbates or heightens your sensuality. And a lot of people always think of sex when they think of sensuality, because it's opening all senses at one time. That's why, especially to get to like that climatic part, it opens. You not thinking about your problems. You ain't thinking about who hates you. You ain't thinking about getting fired. You ain't thinking about the bills you got to pay. You ain't thinking about nothing but getting it. And so it is so healing. But when you make it fun and spicy and your feet on the rooftop of the or the ceiling of that car.
Memories from the corners of my mind. That's what you're giving right now. Memories.
Okay, you got an answer too. You got an answer.
Okay,
your
so
own question. Don't be putting all the pressure on me. I feel pressure.
I got you. Okay, so for me, I am a weird exhibitionist. Like, I enjoy being like in a dungeon and people seeing me. But for some reason, outside in a vehicle, like in somebody else's space, is like, ah. So for me, I enjoy getting head in the back seat where I'm sitting up and I could be, my head could be on a swivel looking around if somebody coming. And then the person who's giving me head is like laid out kind of on the back seat. I enjoy that because then I could be aware and I could be getting it in.
Oh,
we got a caller.
Caller. Yes. Bring the caller on. Uh-oh. Come on, caller.
Hey.
Hey, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is D-A-G-B.
And where are you calling from?
From Rosarito.
I know who this is. Look, the Rosarito folks in the house. All right, so this is the inappropriate question. Robin Denise, can you ask the caller the inappropriate question for $1 million, Alex?
All right. Caller, when it comes to getting it in a car, what's your favorite position and how do you pull it off without pulling a muscle?
In a car?
In a car, a vehicle, mm-hmm. A moving vehicle.
Mm-hmm. It could be moving or not, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Okay.
Well, answer this. Have you ever, or is this might be a fantasy? Have you ever?
Yeah, but a car isn't my favorite spot, but okay. Yeah, I have. And it was actually, it was in a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how did I enjoy getting it in? Let's see.
This is crazy. I know Robin Denise, she tests on the little church woman in me. Like, I'm like, what? I'm over here saying to myself, I know, clutching pearls.
So it's for me to get it in, not for me to give pleasure to my, like, to my significant other. It's for me. Like, I have to get mine, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Is that the question?
It is what you feel comfortable sharing, boo. So if there's a position you like, you could just be like the back seat, such and such, whatever you want to share, or even a memory of one that might have been better than another. Like, whatever you feel like you want to share, we got you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think it was at a resting spot. We were driving back from like Louisiana and we was at a rest spot. Probably like in Texas. And yeah, it was in the back seat and actually no, it was in the front seat. It was not even in the back seat. Just put the seat back and the hubby went to work.
Woo! He went to work.
Yeah.
He went to work.
In the seat. Y'all can't see me, but I'm talking in my seat. Go to work, oh honey. Go to work.
Oh, my God. He went to work. That's what I know. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean it led up. There were things that led up to that as we was driving. You know, I'm of course, fondling my man as he's driving and, you know, getting him excited. And so when we pulled up to the rest spot, he just, like, pushed the seat back and just was like, I got to get it. Let me eat. And I fed him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for so much for calling in and being bold enough to adhere to Rama Denise's shenanigans. And make sure you tune in each week. We will be here live each week, every Tuesday, 5 p.m. right here. This is Bounce Back Behavior with your host, Nikisha Michelle, co-host, Miss Robin Denise. And we got Izzy Key in the house. Hopefully she has not died with this conversation. Right. This poor thing.
I'm okay.
Are you okay over there?
I'm preparing for a great segment. That's all. y'all have a great time. This is what life is all about. Memories.
Listen. Izzy, don't think you getting you escaping away from these questions now. I'm gonna let you go on this week, but next time.
I appreciate that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You signed up for this, boo, so.
Oh goodness. All right. This next segment is personal and it's called the plus side of love. Yes, everybody can just inhale and exhale as we move on from these inappropriate questions. Take a drink of water to calm yourself down. Blowout. I don't know. What's not the word blowout? But you know, to kind of like let that fire go.
Release the steam. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Release that steam, right? So we can move forward. Okay. So. This next segment is personal and it's called The Plus Side of Love. And this is a segment where we confront fat phobia, double standards, and silent battles, especially with the Black plus size women and what we face here in America when it comes to life and love. And today I'm going to talk about how a Black man tried to dim my shine, and on social media. So we're going to dive into, you know, what happens when your body becomes a battleground. And my body has been a battleground my whole life. And when I say my whole life, I would say pretty much from the time I was about 20. From the time I was about 20 to now, my body has been a battleground. So one of the things I'm going to share was like a little scenario, and then let's just talk about it because this is real and it happens every day. So I'm on Instagram, minding my Instagram business, okay? Minding my Instagram business. And I want to call him out. Hopefully I can read it. It is @him_2, I think is LLS or it might be IIS, but I'm thinking it's LLS or whatever, him_2LLS, something like that. But anyway, so I'm on there minding my business. Let me see if I can just get straight to it. Give me a second.
Let me come with the receipts.
Let me get the receipts.
So you understand what has happened.
Okay. Let's see here.
Nikisha gonna give you the full story, y'all.
Okay. Let me pull. This one was. Okay. So I made a post about, I liked a post or forwarded a post or something about Steve Harvey talking about what men are supposed to be to women. Like, what are the real men supposed to be like? You know, how they're supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. So the guy that I'm telling you about, he said, at the ready woman. Now, I'm not the only one in this post, right? There's millions of people. He's like, at the ready woman, How can you listen to a speech from a man who's been divorced 3 times? He is the worst person to take advice from. You got to listen to at Kevin Samuels. He tells the truth. Right. Okay. So I said, well, I don't deal with American men and toxic behaviors comparing and making women feel not good enough. I deal with powerful men from Africa. They too see that the Black men in America have no idea how to court and build women up or provide. The fact that we keep having the same conversation is stupidity. Men set the foundation, build the table, women decorate the table and make sure he's nurtured and can continue to provide, protect, and build us up. Now, I thought I was just saying what I needed to say. So now homeboy goes and says, at the ready woman, I see why you don't get attention from men in America. You weigh more than a man at your height. You're in no position to be trying to argue or no leverage out here in the dating market. That's the real reason you're single. Can you imagine? And this conversation went on and on and on. So finally, I tried my hardest to be classy about it. I was like, sir, I'm in school for this. This is my thing, da, 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 da. And he just continued to attack me. So then I said, you know what? I think I know what this is. You're zesty. You don't really like women. You're zesty. And your dick is probably small.
Right.
So you're zesty and your dick is small. Then when I looked at him, he's tiny. That Napoleon I was like, and when I said that, when I tell you it must have struck a nerve, he went into my DM and left me a voice message of just hate. Just hate. I shouldn't have deleted it. I just deleted it. I didn't even want that in my spirit, but here we go. This is every day. This is every day. What do you think, Robin Denise?
First, the thing that comes to mind is the song that says, I owe you nothing. I'll be myself, baby. I ain't fronting. Said, no, no, no. Listen, you owe that man nothing. You don't have to tell him what you went to school for. You don't have to. He made so many assumptions about you, your body, your life. You don't have to tell him nothing. You owe him nothing. Nothing. The fact that you gave him any types of responses was a privilege to him. To receive any type of interaction from you was a privilege. And you ain't on him that either. Block his ass. That's why I'd be like, block your shit. But I understand.
Good. That's good.
I understand why, you know, there was the interaction. I'm just saying, people, we don't owe these people any type of, any part of our shine or our energy.
But that's crazy that you said that, because something in you feels like you got to defend yourself. Like, no, I'm a nice fat girl. I'm really nice. I'm educated. I'm beautiful. Something in you. And I don't know what that is. And so it's real.
All those phrases that you use were like provement statements, like trying to prove I'm a nice fat girl. I'm, what was the other one? Whatever else.
I'm smart. I'm educated.
Yeah. Like that's trying to prove worth.
Yeah.
And you don't have to prove your worth. Nakisha and everybody out there, y'all are beautiful, divine beings. Whether or not you think you look that way from the outside, like, it don't matter. Like, you are cut from the divine. You are beautiful. You are amazing. Fuck anybody else who don't get that. They not worthy of your shine. And I get it, because I've had those moments too where it's like people say some shit about me and I be in my feelings. I got to go to the altar and talk to people and be like, okay, put yourself out of this. They don't deserve this energy you give it.
Do you feel like it is also contributing to when we want to defend ourselves, or we find ourselves being hurt by those comments and stuff? Do you think it's because people always say heal yourself or build your, get better self-esteem? Is it a sign that you don't have, you know, higher self-esteem, or you haven't healed from these things? Or is it just a normal process, for just your opinion?
I actually think it's just a normal process. Like, as human beings, we desire to be in community. So when someone that is in your sphere, in your community is coming at you, it hurts. And so you want to be in community. So it hits like a deep level of wanting to be in connection. And then like, you can be healed all you want, but people still know how to pick out a scar. You know what I mean? How to poke and prod. And so it comes to us to be able to recognize it and then be like, all right, I see that this is hitting a deep-seated wound that is still there, and I can process, release, and move forward, right? It's like once you acknowledge it, once you know what your wounds are and how they can be triggered, then you can fight them from a place of victory versus victim.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's good. So all my plus size, fluffy, beautiful women out there, if you take nothing from this week's segment and you are being bullied or you feel like you can't speak up because of the mass public opinion, know you do matter and know you don't owe anybody any fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Walk in your beauty, walk in your grace, walk in who you are. And just because I prefer African men, because I'm all about being where I am celebrated and not tolerated. And I feel like, yes, there are amazing American men here and they do love plus size women and all of that stuff. But sometimes it's like finding a needle in the haystack because it's finding the high quality man who knows how to treat a woman well. And I look at, you know, our average size or smaller sisters struggling to get a man too. So sometimes in the back of my head, and I'm sure I'm speaking for other people too, you feel like, well, damn, if this, you know, we think about Beyonce, well, damn, if Jay-Z was cheating on her ass, you know, who, I got a couple extra things I'm dealing with. Who am I?
Right. Yeah, right.
So that kind of internalized stigma sticks with you. And it really doesn't have anything to do if your self-esteem is high or low. It's just real. But I know that African men value us and they see our fluff differently. And I'm about it. I don't care how many I run through. I will run through them like puff tissue. You hear me? I'm about it. I love the way African men love on me. All right. Now, having a full-fledged relationship and learning how to communicate and learning cultural differences and stuff like that, that's a different caveat. But when I'm telling you, if y'all really want to be loved on, appreciated, and valued, go where you are celebrated and not tolerated. And don't listen to people like this dude who clearly is insecure because he's little in height and probably dick size. And on top of that, probably just hiding his DL instead of just coming on out and claiming who he is. He's just hateful of women in general. So that's what I got to say. And thank you for contributing to that. So every week we just giving y'all a little sample of what's happening every week right here at Bounce Back Behavior, baby. What's your favorite guru is spiritual baddie, Robin Denise.
Yeah.
We got a Bounce Back Makisha Key and your K-pop love and critic, Miss Izzy Key. And since I'm talking about Miss Izzy Key, I know y'all just kind of like, well, what is this baby on here doing? That's my baby. Well, she is going to bring us weekly the bias breakdown report. Izzy Key.
Yes, I'm here.
The combo we need. Give us the bias breakdown. What is it? What are we looking
for? Yeah. So another week, another K-pop controversy. This time, a birthday live stream and a whole lot of cultural tone deaf, basically. So yeah, I'm Izzy Key, and this is the Bias Breakdown, where I unpack all things from K-pop from a Black girl's lens. So here's what happened. back on April 2nd, 2025, a girl group called Kiss of Life, located in South Korea, they celebrated one of their members' birthday parties, her 25th birthday, via a live stream party. But the kicker was, and this is in their words, the theme was old school hip hop, basically. Now, I watched a little bit of this live stream for myself. And when I tell you, these girls acted like they went to bed and woke up black. They acted like they knew about the struggle. They grew up in South Central. Oh, and they had new personas. Like, this wasn't the Kiss of Life I had saw performed the other day. This was like Little Taco Bell and her gang. So, very inappropriate. So what do I mean by that? In the live stream, you can see it for yourself. They literally had new personas. They had one girl in braids. They had big chains and big hoops. And they literally gave themselves new names, like Little Taco Bell, Bob Sky, NZ, whatever that means. And speaking...
Wait, was Little Taco Bell really a name?
One of the girl in the group's name is Belle. And they were like, oh, what's your name? She was like, oh, you know me. I'm Little Taco Bell.
No. Hey, Izzy, what makes them feel okay with doing that? Where did they get the audacity?
The audacity. I think a big part in it is because this is Kiss of Life is not the first offenders to do something on this level. Like, K-pop, since its origin, has many occurrences of just saying the N-word in songs. Like, from Shinhwa's song, I believe it's like Twinkle in Paradise, they say the N-word maybe like 4 times in the song, in the chorus too. So it's a pretty catchy part of the song too. So now everyone's going to say it. And then I think it's just like, it's such a constant reoccurrence that doesn't get negative backlash to where people just consistently feel comfortable to do it. However, in the Kiss of Life case, it's a little different when it comes to the backlash, which is good to see within the K-pop culture and Black stance, Black fandom starting to stand up for themselves and try to do more of an education, but also show the impact of these artists' actions as well. Mm. But
so, yes. Cindy, how are they doing that? How has this backlash, like?
Yeah. So the backlash. So basically, I would say a good snippet of it. So Kiss of Life's Instagram dropped from 3.7 million to 3.3 million. Still big numbers, but that's 400,000 people that decided to leave and unfollow. There is still a lot of different platforms. A lot of different uproar from Black fans speaking their mind. I saw a lot of Black fans just saying, like, you know, we know, because another factor within this case is before the live stream even happened, Belle, our favorite Little Taco Bell, she went to Bubble, which is a platform utilized to connect K-pop artists with fans. So she went to Bubble and word for word, she said, "Promise you won't leave the fandom after watching." This was before the live stream even happened.
What? So you know that what you about to do is fuckery.
Exactly. Wow. You know, I know, we know, but you still decided to do it. You still decided to play on stereotypes and controlling images that perpetrate a community that supports you. Okay.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
You know, can I just say, as a Compton raised child, from the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Glamorizing that life is not cool. Like, I lived a block away from Piru, which is Bloods. And like, I was scared to wear anything that wasn't a mute color.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, walking to the library, getting hit up by Crips and Bloods talking about what set you from. Like, that is, it's not a cool thing to personify, like, and glorify.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they're taking cultures that are just,
They had to survive. Survival. Our survival.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. for a concept, for a costume. You could probably go down the street and find a little $2 chain and a snapback hat. And they're like, oh my God, we're the next hip hop stars. And that's their, in their eyes, it's just cool. It's just a new costume for them to utilize. But again, they don't know the history, the context behind it. And they keep doing it over and over and over again. And to the point, it's like, this wasn't just a styling slip up or just an accident. It's a consistent pattern. Black culture within K-pop keeps getting seen as just surface level cool. It's like, oh, they look cool in their outfits. Let's replicate it. And it's no respect for where it comes from, what the struggle of other people have had to deal with, the real live lived experiences. They don't understand the representation. They're not respecting it. Point blank, period. They're just not respecting it at all. And from an industry standpoint, this is really important because within K-pop, the public image is currency. An idol's group reputation can impact their endorsements, their tours, and even their legal contracts. Because another factor with this, the consequences with behind their actions, is they also, on May 16th, they got pulled from KCON LA, from the lineup. So KCON LA is basically a really big festival that comes on every year in LA, and a lot of different K-pop groups come out and perform, and it's a big thing. And they got pulled from that lineup. So that is missed revenue, that is missed exposure, and a hit to their brand as well. So that is what Kiss of Life is dealing with right now.
Wow. Well, Izzy, Keith, thank you so much for bringing the bias report. Cool. That is very powerful. We look forward every week for you keeping us up on the culture. And, you know, wow, that's a lot.
Thank you, Robin Denise, for giving that insight, because hopefully, what if a K-pop idol is listening right now? And that's a little bit of education they just got there from there, too.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm like, who is their cultural sensitivity coach? Like,
probably not,
bro. Like, maybe that would be me. They got me over here. I have to light an incense.
Oh my gosh, she had to call on the ancient ancestors. She like that.
Calm down.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. What is happening?
Izzy, thank you so much for telling it. Listeners, you are tuned in to Bounce Back Behavior. And we are having a ball on our first episode. This has been amazing. And if you want to join the conversation live, please feel free to call in at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. So listen, we talked about some tools and transformational things that we can do to bounce back. And we wouldn't be bounce back behavior if we didn't help people discover their strengths, discover what they are authentically capable of in order to thrive, be alive, and love it here on earth, because everybody don't love it here. You know, as a psychotherapist, I'm constantly faced with clients who have cutting behavior, who are suicidal, and they literally hate it here. They don't see the point of trials and tribulations, and like, why do we have to live this life with so much happening and going on? It can look really bleak, and it can be very difficult. But here at Bounce Back Behavior, we have some brilliance. We have some spiritual authority. And we want to be able to give you what you need so that you can stop hating it here. Stop hating it here. And so the question of the day is, do you really ever get over heartbreak and betrayal? Do you ever really get over it? And the reason I'm questioning is because I am inundated with people say, you got to do the healing work. You got to do the healing work. But I just feel like no matter how much healing work you can do, you still your ass getting triggered. Does that mean you didn't do the healing work? Hell no. I was talking to my little I ain't gonna say little. Why do I use the word little to describe people? That's not right. I was talking to my male friend and he said something that it triggered a previous relationship with my ex-husband. And that ex-husband almost took me out of here, right? Because I love that man with everything. But one of the things that I keep saying is I used to blame him for my broken heart and I blamed him for the demise of our marriage. But I was like, girl, part of the healing is you have to take responsibility. You saw the signs along the way. But girl, you didn't want to be embarrassed because you married this man and you wanted to keep it going and you wanted to keep praying and seeing God would fix it. When God was like, girl, don't do it. Your brothers was like, girl, we know men, don't do it. But your little heart was like, no, he really loved me. Girl, what is love? Love don't pay bills. You needed that man to be a provider. And so even though I've taken responsibility and I've done a lot of work, even to get back at this place we are right now, when my friend said something, it took me all the way back and it made me afraid. So my question is, and Izzy, please join in. Callers, join in. Do you really ever get over heartbreak and betrayal?
All right.
Uh-oh, she got her serious voice. All right. She didn't light her incense, the ancestors standing around in a circle.
Listen, I done calmed them down. You know what I mean? Okay. So, listen, there is a manifester that I listen to every once in a while. I don't remember her name, but she said this thing one time that really had me say, well, God damn it, that's the truth. And it was, when you are manifesting and changing your states and calling in things that you want, you actually need to timeline jump. Because if you're talking about, oh, I want to heal from this, you need to actually remove. If you keep looking for things to heal, you will find, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to stop being that person who gets hurt by that thing, then mm-hmm. you timeline jump into a version of you that does not have that problem. Mm. And when she said that, I was like, oh, wait, is that me like running away from my issues? Is that me trying to circumvent the healing? Am I like going to miss the lesson? And when I sat in the Akashic Records with my ancestors and I asked them about this, they were like, no, what happens is don't bypass it. Like, recognize this is a thing that has hurt me. I want the healing from it. Give me the lesson. Bring me the lesson with ease. I don't want to keep going through this lesson from a place of struggle. Like, give me the lesson through ease. And in that ease, let's go to a place where Robin Denise does not have that issue, that I have learned the lesson. Let's move there. Mm-hmm. And if it comes back up, that's the universe saying, let's make sure you still got this lesson. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to take you back to the old version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a chance for you to remember, I got the lesson. I don't have to go back to how it hurt me and da 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 da. It's like, oh, pinged. Ah, I see it. I see it. Acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Awareness. Mm-hmm. I already have the tools for this because mm-hmm. I have timeline jumped from one space to another to where this version of Robin Denise, this version of whoever divine being out there is able to process and move forward from that.
Mm-hmm. I think in psychotherapy, one of the things, even in my book, The Ready Woman, what I tell people is acknowledge the nightmare. I call it a nightmare. Acknowledge the nightmare, but then rewrite the script. Rewrite the script of the nightmare is meaning give it a different meaning. Because sometimes we give it a singular meaning and that brings a lot of the pain. But what if you give that particular thing a different meaning? So now you're expanding what it can mean. Now you can, you have choices. Because a lot of times in our pain, we don't feel like we have choices. But now we, when you expand that meaning, you have choices. And now from there, you can rewrite it. And also teaching the brain, teaching the emotions to not go to that one meaning and experience in that pain, but teaching it to remember the fondness, the goodness. Because a lot of times, even with childhood healing, a lot of people are like, oh, my parents were the worst. They beat me. They killed me. They did all this stuff. But I'm like, but yo, that was like moments in time. The whole relationship wasn't that, right? So let's talk about the times where you was jumping rope. Let's talk about the times where you were getting your hair done and you loved it. Let's talk about the Easter outfits and how cute you thought you were and all that. So not being fixated on the point of pain, but what surrounded that? What was some cushion? What was some love? What was some beauty? Training your brain to go back there. And it's weird, when we think of someone who hurt us, we always go to the hard and rough part. But what I try to do and try to remember is just like, but what about the good parts? They matter too. Don't they matter? And I think that's what I would contribute. Like you said, leap to somewhere where that thing is not there. You are a whole new version of yourself. And that's the healing work. You are applying love to that version of yourself so that nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And then you have an expanded viewpoint so you can choose, because we always don't think we have a choice, but you can choose what you want to do and feel about and think about it. And then rewrite that story. And after you rewrite that story, hopefully that story includes, yeah, that hurt, but this was good. That was good. Because I could truly say what kept me in it, that man was good in bed. Good Jesus.
Legs up on the roof of the car.
Huh? Right. That was probably the part that kept me there. But let's move on, because I know, Robin Denise, you want to teach us how to place our order. You want to teach us how to place our order, okay? So tell us, how do we place our order? How do we jump timelines? What does that look like?
Yes. Okay. So you know how on Uber Eats and Grab app, not Grab app, sorry, that's the Thailand app.
Grubhub,
all of those. Sorry, I'm in Thailand. I'll be thinking about stuff here. Anyways, Uber Eats. You put your order in, you tell them what restaurant you want it from, you tell them what you want, da 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 da, and then you send it off, you pay your money before you even get the food, right? And you just trust that it's gonna come. Right. You don't, you can even, you don't like be calling a restaurant and be like, well, what kind of sauce did you put into my food, the order I ate?
So you said you don't micromanage it.
You don't micromanage the order? You put the boundaries around what you wanted. I didn't want no ice. I want it really hot. You put all the boundaries around what you wanted when you placed the order, and then you sent it off to the ether, into the universe, and trusted that it's going to come back to you. We trust Uber Eats more than we do Divine Source. Because how many times you say a prayer, you set an intention, you say, this is what I want for my life, this is what I'm manifesting for my life, and send it off, and then be looking around like, is it coming? Where's that Jesus? Where's that Lord? Where's that divine? Where is it? Where is it? Or maybe if I do something over here, that'll make it come quicker.
Yeah.
Where to trust? Place your order. Tell the divine what it is that you want. Put the parameters around it. I want a 6'7" man, long locks. I want another partner who is the dame too, and did it. Whatever you want, put your parameters on it and say, then ask the divine and put a little extra sprinkle of loving and juiciness that I know of. And set that order, let it go, let the universe handle it, and watch it come back to you on time when it's ready. We could talk more about that another time.
I heard that. That is so yummy. Now y'all know how to really pray and leave it alone. Well, that's a wrap on episode 1 of Bounce Back Behavior. We showed up for y'all, and y'all showed up for us. Thank you. We got ready, and we did some work today. Robert Denise, any final words?
I love you, divine beings. Come check me out on my website, robertdenise.com. Ew.
Izzy Key, any final words?
Super fun. Can't wait for next week. You can find me at Izzy Key on Instagram and all other socials.
All right. Thank you for listening to Bounce Back Behavior. Oh, baby, the work is just getting started. See you next week. And you can find me, your host, Nakisha Michelle, at The Ready Woman on Instagram and I think everywhere else in the ethers. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Until we get our
Bye.
You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.